We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And that'll do it. It's over. The Bucks have done it. The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
I mean, when you were 19, I think you were at Summer League and you tweeted something about, I'm not leaving Milwaukee until I win a championship. That is...
I'm out now. Can I leave now?
That's your call.
I want to trade. who I got to talk to for the trade? John? I want the trade.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Highlight courtesy ABC. What's not to love about Giannis Antetokounmpo, really? I mean, just he's everything you want a sports superstar to be. And between Shohei Ohtani and Giannis right now, this is sort of their sports universe that we're all living in.
It is, and it's an enjoyable place to be. Shout out to Jordan Malley for Knuck If You Buck. That's going to get me fired up this morning. And that was their song that they played in Milwaukee for a while. That was a pivotal NBA Finals because the first thing I thought of was Giannis and the willingness to go for 50 and the win.
And make it all his free throws.
And five blocks. Those blocks were so crucial and emphatic in everything you wanted to see. There were also violent dunks in that game. It was inspired basketball. And then immediately after I was enjoying the celebration, and Malika Andrews did such a tremendous job to ask those questions the way she did.
The youngest person ever to do that job.
And to talk to Giannis about the reaction he had immediately when she asked him about his brothers and how they're all NBA champions now. And you saw the joy when he reacted that way. And then her asking him about Chris Middleton. Those are the questions that really matter. But even after all of that, I realized here we begin these finals talking about Chris Paul and his place in history and how close he had been, the hard luck that he had come into in his career. And you know that there's a devastation on his part, too, because that's very well the closest he will likely ever get to a championship.
And even though he scored 26 points, you can tell that his body is beginning to betray him.
We saw it in the finals. We saw it in game three.
And there's great defense being played. And if you really want to understand what the Bulls want to do with drop coverage and pick and roll, the Bucks put on a clinic. They really did. They showed you the shots they're willing to give up. And I thought just maybe Phoenix would be the wrong team against which to do that. But you still have to make threes in this league if you want to win. And boy, by gum, Cam Payne was out there trying to do the best that he could. But they denied them high-value shots, and it mattered.
I think you could call it defensive shot selection in a way because of the shots that they forced them to take. It was such a good game plan. And then there were times where I think the Suns could have capitalized and didn't. Jay Crowder, for example, had a good look when it was still close to the end of the game, and Chris Middleton, you could tell, was fatigued on the possession, and the closeout wasn't quite there.
Not hamstring fatigue. That's
no,
different.
Just general
just being
fatigue.
Tired, right.
Well, and then Middleton had an emphatic dunk after that, but that possession in particular, where the closeout wasn't there, Crowder had a good look from a spot on the court where we've seen him hit before. He passes it up. They end up taking a timeout. Those are the possessions that I think were the difference makers in that game. But Giannis going for 50. The blocks, too. That's what I think is so crucial.
And yet, in the need situations, in the set-piece situations, it's Middleton. When they had to draw up plays, when it's side out of bounds and he's running that double slice cut over the top, and they know that even though there's going to be a guy draped on him, that's still their good shot, their best shot, their go-to, to have to, don't take that for granted. I mean, because that kind of thing, and for Giannis to be cool with it too, to know it, to have that relationship, to provide that space, he can get his 50, a lot of that stuff on his own, where they're not designing plays for him in those set piece moments.
Yeah, Giannis is going to improv. Giannis is going to get his share the ball, and then that's what you see result.
I just really hope this stays this fun. Things in sports tend to be fleeting, and whether championships like this, they you got to really, and that's why I give Milwaukee a lot of credit, because I liked watching them enjoy the hell out of it. I really did. It's because you have to do it, because these things come apart. They do in sports and everything else. But to really feel it in the moment, to really celebrate it hard and appreciate what you have in this kid, in this moment, in the symmetry of the half century and all that. It was just a really cool championship. I'm genuinely happy for Milwaukee.
It's like the band, what it used to be about the music. You want them to keep it about the music.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, these things are fleeting.
I will say, though, this has been the attitude of this Milwaukee team for a while. Even in 2019, you know, they were doing the wrestling bits, and that was usually Wes Matthews and Robin Lopez, and there was a lot of fun with that. But they've kept it light. But here's the other thing is, there's the whole narrative going on, and it's really biased to me, of Milwaukee not being a super team. Kinda. Did everybody forget what they gave up for Drew Holiday last year? Are we casually glossing over that? I joked on Twitter, and I found it, retweeted it, because I said at the time in November of last year, get you someone who values you the way Bucks value Drew Holiday, because I think we all were like, wait, what? They gave up what? And it worked. It worked. That's a super team, too, in a way. It's just not your flashy coastal super team, but they made a lot of moves to get there.
It's also, I think there's a big difference between the negative stigma of the self-constructed free agent super team as opposed to shrewd deal-making. I think they're night and day, apples and oranges, whatever you want to say. The idea that a bunch of stars can, you know, sit in a pool together somewhere in Malibu and say, hey, let's all go play together. It's fine. You're allowed to do it, and it's great, and I have no problem with players empowering themselves. It doesn't matter to me, but my perception of the way a lot of fans view it is like, well, who are they to decide that they want to go play together and wreck shop on everybody? This was a GM making a move.
It was also Giannis saying he wanted Drew Holiday.
Sure, but you can't begrudge that. Like, that's, no, but you gave up assets.
But my point is, it's the same process. You just think it's Miami. You just think it's Brooklyn. You just think it's the Lakers.
But the fact that it is Milwaukee is what kind of makes it cool. You understand why people want to go play in Miami together. You know how that happens, and the lifestyle that these guys want. The fact that it's Milwaukee, it is folksy and fun. It just is. And Milwaukee's cool with it. They don't have, even though they, by all rights, you would think that city has sort of a little brother complex being in the shadow of Chicago. They really don't.
No.
They could, and you would understand if they did, but they're pretty secure in their own skin as sports fans, I guess. And they should be. Their teams are really good.
People are mad at me because I said that Milwaukee is a, I didn't say that they're the type of super team. I'm just saying they did similar things.
Well, they got guys.
They got the guys they wanted to get. They gave up a lot to get Drew Holiday. I just think the idea that they're not a super, like, it's not this big contrast is my point.
Well, they got three All-Stars. They've got one MVP, perennial MVP candidate, potential Hall of Famer, and two other All-Stars. And that's pretty much the recipe.
And that's what happens when you're allowed to draft, or when you're allowed to trade so many draft picks, by the way. You get championships. You're more flexible in your deals. It works out well for you.
And I was thinking during the end of our show yesterday when we were playing the Gary Cohn stuff about Cincinnati Skyline chili, and they're talking about the chili on the spaghetti. Fact is, if you've ever been to real chili in Milwaukee, there's nothing wrong with chili on spaghetti. It just has to be actual decent chili. So that solves your problem there. Milwaukee's got it. I've had real chili before. That stuff's really good.
I once ended a night in Milwaukee hammering a nail into a stump, listening to a polka band, and I had a lovely time.
Probably an oompa band. would be my guess.
No, it was like a polka band.
If it's because hammering a nail into a stump is a German thing.
Yep, it was all pretty neat. Going back to this game, though, was I the only one making the Matt Spiegel patented couch noises when I saw that Lopez dunk? My God, that was violent.
There's a Lopez dunk in any number of the Giannis blocks. I was like, ooh.
I was like, ooh. Yeah. The Giannis blocks were so amazing. I don't know why that's my favorite part about last night's game, but that is my favorite part about last night's game.
I thought it was a good broadcast, too. I'm generally sort of, I can be in between on some of those broadcasts, especially in the middle of the season when it's basically just like a Jeff Van Gundy talk show and him just discussing or like airing grievances or discussing things. It was they did a really good job sounding big in the big moments. How about that weird stat with referee Scott Foster and Chris Paul? In the last 12 games that Scott Foster has refereed, that Chris Paul has played in, he's 0 for 12. And I read several articles about it yesterday where the bookmakers essentially think that's noise. When they found out, the line didn't move when they found out Foster was officiating. And they even though people were looking at it and Twitter went crazy with the Foster Paul news, the actual professionals in charge that were interviewed by Darren Rovell on the Action Network, they said it's really not that big a deal, even though it looks like it is, that we consider it statistical noise and that's why the line didn't move.
Interesting, because that is something that would be significant to the money line.
You would think. You would think, but they said it's not. They didn't feel that was significant, although those of us who maybe don't have all the math in front of us. It's cool for me to see in the marquee game of the season, two of my former guys from the Continental Basketball Association and Scott Foster and Tony Brothers were both out there officiating, both super nice guys. They were, and the other one is still going is James Capers from here in Chicago, who all came up through the old Continental League. Actually saw Scott Foster get grabbed by former Pitt center Darren Morningstar. He called a technical on him. And Darren Morningstar came over and grabbed Scott Foster by the shoulders and started shaking him. You can't call that technical on me. And he's like literally grabbing him by the shoulders and shaking him. And Scott Foster like gets his arms free, calls another technical, kicks him out of the game. And he goes over to the scorer's table. And he looks at me. I say, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, that's a big boy. And it was scary because this guy was kind of off. Morningstar, kind of a weird dude, and we didn't know what was going to happen. But now he's like a graybeard ref. Like they're the old guys now. They're like the Dick Bavettas now out there.
That is one of those disturbing I'm getting older moments is when not just players are younger and then they start to age and be referred to as being older, but the referees too.
Yeah, last night when they were interviewing the White Sox first round pick during the Sox game, the shortstop at a Indy who's younger than my daughter, and Jason says to me, he's like, yeah, that guy's the same age as some of my teammates. He's a child. And he's all excited. He's like, I never thought I'd be throwing out the first pitch. Like, that's your shortstop prospect. And he really, every year these guys appear younger and younger. And I have a difficult time differentiating between a 21-year-old and a 17-year-old. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah. No, that's life. That's all of us aging. And that, in a way, kind of brings me back to my point about Chris Paul, who had seemed ageless this year. And then we just saw it unravel. And I, as happy as I am for the Milwaukee Bucks to have put that together and won the way they did, I just sincerely wonder what's next for Chris Paul.
Did I just see Jason Goff pop into the studio over there? Did I see what I thought I saw? That there's a Jason Goff prowling around?
Sneaky.
He's here.
Oh, what?
Boy. What?
Yeah. We're talking about basketball and Jason Goff is here?
He won't go on. I tried. Doesn't want to talk to Dan.
I haven't seen Goff in a while. Over a year?
See, he doesn't age, which isn't fair.
No, he doesn't.
He's actually like 57.
Neither does his sister.
He's actually like 5 years older than I am. It doesn't admit it.
Are you just wanting to say things now to make him come in here? Is that what's happening?
Maybe. Hey, when we come back, can we get to Deion Sanders being an ass bag in more ways than one?
Yeah, Deion, you did a good thing, and you're trying to mess it up.
Yes, and it hits at something journalistic that has been a pet peeve of mine forever. That's next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
I'm a people pleaser. You know, I don't like letting people down. I'm like letting, like, when I resigned with the city of Milwaukee, that's the main reason I resigned, because I didn't want to let the people down and think that, you know, I don't work extremely hard for them, which I do, you know, but be able to accomplish those things in this period of time, it's crazy. It's unreal. It's freaking unreal. I can't believe it.
I love that dude. I really do. He's so great. He's so much fun to root for, and he doesn't apologize for bringing joy to the way he plays the game, and it's infectious. So good for Milwaukee. Good for Giannis Antetokounmpo. We were going to talk about Deion Sanders and him needing to be called coach, apparently, and general neediness, but we're not, because Jason Goff showed up. What brings you around? Why are you in the neighborhood?
One, because I'm a grown-ass man, and I can go wherever I want. That's the start. No, I actually had to holler at Mitch about something. So, yeah. Okay. How you feeling, man?
Good.
Are you good? You good?
I'm good.
Hey, what's up, Layla?
Yeah, nice to see you.
We used to work
together.
Yeah, we had that. We had a good couple months. No, yeah. Month, maybe something like that. Yeah.
It was like a year and a month. I think.
Well, I mean, we were never in the studio at the same time, really. And bigger and better for you. Congratulations. I told you when you got the gig. But congratulations. Very proud of you. It's very fresh. So
you did.
Yeah.
You're a miss.
Yeah, and you. And you tear up the city, and then I learned about it the day
tear
after.
Up the city.
The day after,
yeah,
on Instagram.
I'm eavesdropping on some of this stuff that apparently you guys have
everywhere.
Been like ships in the night passing at various clubs, venues, underground parties.
She is my culture and Chicago nightlife beacon. You
oh
know,
my
in the,
God.
In the industry though, like I, you
Your
know, I know
team.
Yeah, I know like promoters and stuff like that, but you know, a lot of those times I don't want to go to those places. Like Layla kind of. She checks it out, she spots it out, makes it look fly, puts it on Instagram, and the next thing you know, I pull up like I, you know, found it. And I'm like, hey, I tell my lady, hey, come on with me. I'm checking this place out. You know, nobody know about it yet. I'm just scrolling down Instagram. I'm just checking out Layla's Instagram, that's all.
I had dinner at 5:30 yesterday.
Did you?
That is the life I'm living.
Hey, man, it's a good life, though. It's
no,
a good life. Those late nights are bad nights. I mean, unless you're in Milwaukee. By the way, shout out to 65,000 people being outside. COVID went for 100 last night. Like, Giannis got 50, COVID got a bill.
That
COVID,
was
COVID's holding up the Wilt Chamberlain sign outside.
The handwritten sign.
Yeah, real. Oh, it was cursed. Real deal.
that was a lot of people.
Dog, and the best was bringing like, oh, such a beautiful scene. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and Van Gundy said it. He said Anthony.
Dr. Fauci is cringing at home as he's watching our game.
I had it down, right? I had the volume down. Lady had a migraine. Was trying to cook and all that other stuff, so I had the volume down. And then all of a sudden, I see 65,000 people, you know, white, black, every shade of the rainbow. I'm like, ooh-wee, COVID is out there doing the flu game right now.
And I ate the pizza.
Right. COVID's out there.
COVID's doing the flu game.
Yeah,
that's like 19 levels of ridiculous.
I'm just saying. But shout out to everybody. Hope everybody's vaccinated and take care of themselves out there. But no, it was a great scene, man. Happy for Giannis and the Bucks. Bucks fans been calling this station for years. And
we have a ton of listeners in Milwaukee.
And Bucks fans who are here, too, yeah. In this city. And I mentioned it on Twitter last night how at the very beginning, you know, taking calls and talking crazy about Giannis 8 years ago, like Bucks fans been waiting on this moment, and that's how it's supposed to happen. You draft, you grow, you hold hostage, then your team has to build. So I love the whole narrative of like, yeah, I did it here, and I didn't leave. I won't say it's by chance, but please believe if he didn't win this year and maybe next year, he signed his money. These dudes sign and get their money and say, hey, I want to be here for the rest of my life. And then when it's time to be disgruntled, they move along. In his timeline, he won it, right? So he won it before that. But please believe if the Nets were healthy or, you know, if this season wasn't what it was, and I'm not taking anything away, but I'm happy for how
you're
it worked.
You're kind of taking some
I'm
away.
Not taking away from okay. it. I'm not. But it's just the order of events, right? If you're a superstar in this league and you don't win a championship, you can't just be Charles Barkley anymore.
No.
Right? You can't be the guy who everybody teases because social media, you know, the older guys who didn't win anything don't care. the younger guys grew up in something.
Why do you think Karl Malone went to the Lakers at the end? Settled in on some of these, like the Gary Paytons and some of these guys realized.
Karl might have been on some kind of weird tour, too. Karl is a wild boy. Yeah, you want to go like Karl Malone. There, Vernon Maxwell. Did you see Vernon Maxwell's tweet?
Oh, my God.
That is about Karl Malone. That's about, please believe it. That's about Karl Malone. And not just about the Utah Jazz fans, but go back and listen to Vernon Maxwell speak about that whole Utah experience and things and playing against him. And then when people started to find out that Karl might not have been the coolest dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That Mad Max couldn't wait to spike the ball. As soon as Giannis grabbed the championship trophy, he's like, hey, by the way, screw you, Utah. And you know who I'm talking to. And I spell Utah K-A-R-L. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, it's amazing. It's amazing. He called that dude Mega Pippen. The first time I saw him at a summer league in Vegas. And then that was when Jason Kidd was going to try to experiment with him at the point guard. Remember, like, Giannis has gone through, in 8 years, like, three different acts of his career. And it's not over, obviously, but to go for 50 in a championship game is...
I mentioned earlier...
Please don't bring up Jason Kidd coaching. I'm already worried about that in Dallas.
Don't be. I think Luka is going... override all that.
It's the combo of him and Porzingis that doesn't seem to be working out.
Yeah, but I mean, he'll get gone just like everybody else that doesn't line up with Luka.
Every time I see Porzingis, I remember you saying that he was in Estonia just as Chameleonaire was popular.
Yeah, that's because you remember when he first came out with the braids, right?
And like, I was like, this is like on delay. He was getting everything
this
late.
This is his introduction to NBA culture.
Guys.
Was riding dirty. Right?
We're not.
He just didn't know they would end up on jog jams. You know what I'm saying?
Right, probably I was all let down.
He got here, the real music. Right. Like, I wanted to say that Chameleonaire was dope for the time being. Actually, really big in the tech business as well. Like doing a great job.
And occasionally performs at Joe's on weed.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, that happened like in 20. That buddy of mine, I didn't
put his
I didn't go
out
to that
like
concert.
This. Joe's on. Oh!
Joe's
weed street.
On Weed Street.
Street. Yeah, I'm like, man, I didn't even know Chameleonaire smoked like that.
I saw a flock of seagulls there, he said.
How can this combination of people not be talking about Bobby Portis getting his
due? Hey, Bobby, listen. I did three appearances for this station at Tito's Vodka with Bobby Portis in three different locations. And when I tell you Bobby Portis is a dude that I root for, like when the whole Nico thing went down, you are like, I came in here. I was like, hey, listen, listen, guess whose side I'm on?
Yep.
As simple as that. You know what I mean? You run up, you get done up. And Chris Paul knew what it was last. By the way, Bobby Portis.
Jordan on the Wizards.
He better
Willie Mays on meth.
He better have every X-ray ready as soon as this thing is over. This is the fourth time now that he's lost up 2-0 in a 7-game series.
Yeah, but
that's it.
He's the only player in NBA history.
You can tell he's seeing ghosts.
If it was the moment, then we need to talk about it. If it was an injury, he couldn't dribble the basketball for most of the series. Like the maestro, the MC. The sole controller of your offense.
The high Ayatollah of rock and roller.
He couldn't, for game one and game, that's why when they did all of that foolishness for the Western Conference Finals, everybody's like, oh, he letting Lil Wayne through the rope and they going crazy. They riding convertibles through the streets of Phoenix. I'm like, did y'all just win the champion? Like, did y'all win the Grammy? Like, what award was won here? And I didn't want to, I went on the Bullstar podcast and Rob and Casey was like, oh man, you kind of like dulling the shine. I'm like, no, he's supposed to shine, but y'all are acting like this is the chip. Like, mm-mm. Milwaukee won it and was like, whoo, all right, next round. They won it and let out a gasp. And the best player in the series, the best player's best performances came from Giannis. They came from Devin, right? Because this man scored 82 points in back-to-back
Middleton
games.
Made big shots.
And he did.
And all of those half-court set pieces, they ran all
and
for
Drew
him.
Drew Holiday went 4-for-19 last night, controlled that game for them in moments where, when he was 1-for-10, I was like, he should be more aggressive because I didn't notice how much he was shooting. But what he was doing on defense, and not just controlling, because I love P.J. Tucker, but at this point, P.J. Tucker is a dude who misses corner threes and fouls a lot. And I love him because
Tucker's the one that got his ankles broken last night, right? PJ, like video game, yes. you do a screenshot of that.
So hard. Yes. He's the coolest dude off the court, but he's got no cool on the court. So when you jabbing and closing out like that, and on top of it, like PJ's. He was forced to change his body because of the Houston deal, you know, in terms of him playing fours and fives. He's still out here trying to guard like he's a two and a three, mm-hmm. or he can guard twos and threes. He got put on the deck, but he's a champion now. He wore $250,000 shoes in that game.
What?
Air Ones with the diamonds in the swoosh. You didn't see this? Giannis made fun of it after the show. After the game. Giannis was, yeah, right? Everything's a show. Giannis said something to the effect of... he said, "A man's wearing a house on his feet." And then PJ was like, "Hey, man, like, calm that down, like, you know."
No, why are you wearing them then?
Well, right. The diamonds on the soles of your shoes.
But for you, that's what made them fresh coming out. Maybe you know, maybe wifey didn't know about that. Maybe you know what I mean? Like these dudes with these crazy shoe habits, you got to be careful.
Everybody's watching the NBA. Like people are gonna notice.
Yeah, but not
that.
Everybody knows how much your stuff costs.
Fair,
right?
Fair.
So when your man points it out and he's got his kid and his wife right next to him in the press room watching Giannis do his thing, it's like, oh, there's PJ Tucker. He had $250,000 shoes on for this game. And what if you lose that game, by the way?
Right. Then you're the guy that wore $250,000 shoes and lost.
Yeah.
That's
Sam
even worse.
Mitchell used to take shoes away from PJ before he got his before he got his big deal. Sam said he told PJ, hey man, stop shopping for shoes like this. You haven't got your money yet. Right? Austin Rivers and Sam. And PJ Tucker used to do that all the time. And he said, PJ, you got to stop. PJ never stopped, but he got his money.
Well, if he's hanging around with Austin Rivers, he's enjoying the NBA life.
Nah,
right?
PJ's a little bit different than Austin. No, Austin's an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the question, though. We're talking about defense.
Yeah.
As we're watching the game last night, and I was watching drop defense against screen roll. And how well they did what they had to do. The recovery, the spacing, the personnel awareness, who to close out on hard. Talking Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, can the Bulls get to 90% of that? Oh, like, because that's what it's got to look like.
Right.
That's what it's got to look like. It's got to be that disciplined and that aware with every space and getting into visual lanes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was high-level drop defense.
Yeah.
Can the Bulls do it?
So watching these games, no, right now. Not right now. Because they're counting on very young players and guys who haven't been in that moment. The reason why these finals were exciting, because the playoffs sucked to me. But these finals kind of took care of some of that. Playoffs were terrible.
The quality of the games in the finals,
These NBA playoffs, the bubble was exciting because of the novelty of it, and we got basketball back. For me, these playoffs were a little lackluster, especially with the injuries. But watching these games, you're like, yo, nobody's been in this moment. So you're kind of figuring out who does what on the regular and then just does it in the moment. You know, kind of like what we talk about like with baseball playoff statistics where it's like small sample size. This guy probably does this in the moment all the time, but – you know, if you give them a larger sample size, you'll find out. In these playoffs, you found out, hey, these dudes, Milwaukee's been defending like that for long stretches for the last couple of years, right? But their offense bogs down so much that it's happened in playoff games that matter. But it's happened with Eric Bledsoe, and it's happened with guys who couldn't bail out. Or
Brogdon.
Yeah, right? Now, they've got a guy in Chris Middleton who's got the profile of kind of like with LeBron and Kyrie, where it's like – Giannis has a special superstar profile where you can do everything to affect the game, and if you don't take the last shot, your thumbprint is still on the game, and you have somebody next to you who doesn't have to have that, but he can knock down those shots in those moments. Kyrie was that guy for LeBron. The profile that Giannis and Chris Middleton have are similar. So when you got two guys like that who defend, you can't tell those guys, my bad. We talked about this before. Bulls need guys that they can't tell my bad to. Zach LaVine now has to be not only the best defender on this team, but he has to be the loudest defender.
That's a big ask.
Yeah, when Luis Scola is backing you down.
$200 million. It's as simple as that. There's a lot of big asks, right? So now it's time to take it to the next level.
He tries, though.
Yes, he does.
He tries it. He's still not good.
Second half of that Spain game?
Yeah.
First game, he got his ass turned around every time. Well, and I don't know what Pop is doing switching all these screens against the teams that are much larger than them. But he got worked in that first half of that Spain game. Second half, got his defense together, understood what he couldn't do. You know, so I think Zach's able. I think Zach now just has to, like, if his scoring comes down, and Zach becomes a greater defender. If he comes down to 25, 24 from 28, 27, and he has to put that you know, that extra stuff into defense, which I think he has. It's just you got to do it all the time, right? So that's the next step for him. Other than that, like, they're counting on a bunch of young guys too, man. Now a lot of 19 and 20-year-olds in these playoffs. Last time we saw a rookie or a really young player affect a playoff series, how long ago? Like, affected. Like,
oh,
Sam Cassell? Like, what are we talking about here?
Go back that far.
All right, tell me who. Tell me which rookie or second-year player affected an NBA Finals to the point where that team won it. Sam Cassell was the first guard off the bench for the Houston Rockets at the end of that run.
Yeah, and then you're talking about a young Duncan, right?
Right.
I mean, but,
yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about all-time players.
Yeah. But I'm saying it doesn't happen often, right?
Right.
So, yeah, there's steps to take. There's steps to take. I hope Patrick Williams got his mind right with the team's the select team, you know, showing out against people who, because I think he's a guy who has to understand that he don't owe anybody anything. The reason why you here is because everybody was bad, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, certain guys come into a situation scared to be them, not scared to be themselves, but, like, don't want to push it too early. Nah, man, end of the year, you're supposed to be putting up 15 shots a game. I don't care who's hurt, who's healthy. Doesn't matter. You're the fourth pick. Let's go. You got all the measurables, right?
That was the concern though at the end of the season was he wasn't being as aggressive as he should be on offense.
Yeah.
Even in games where it looked like he was going to be, he would
score
have
seven in the first quarter.
Just an 8-point first quarter and dunk on somebody, hit that corner three, and you're like, okay, this is it. This
incredibly well mannered, well taught, well schooled, well trained, well brought up dude. He got to put that effort in the system now.
Yep,
you got to look around and say, hey, none of these guys are better than me, and believe it. Because there's some off-season courts he's already been on that people are like, yo, this is it. He just has to make sure that he keeps that in his head and keep it moving. That's all.
Thanks for stopping by, man.
I came in here to see Mitch, you know, say what's up to Jay, gave Layla a hug, give you a pound, and all of a sudden I'm out here working for free. So the invoice will be sent.
Okay.
Right. It's only
You're
like $7.
It. That's
it's
fine. Like, it's only yeah, like $7. We're good.
I'm
like,
messing with
it's
you.
It's just nice
you buy
to
me
see
a drink.
You. Yeah, that will happen.
But make sure you tell me before you go out.
The phone works two ways.
I see how you do.
You can also talk to me.
I'm about to get jumped by everybody.
Isn't a drink now like $18?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Man. I went to Vegas, and I paid $143 for four drinks.
You had the PJ Tucker of bartend.
No. I was very upset with the situation. So from that point on, it was... You know, it was CVS tequila from that point on. Let's hit the CVS real quick. All right, guys. Thank you for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Wait, it's nice to hear you.
Yes.
And see you, but hear you.
Yes.
Not just read you, not just listen on a podcast, but like hear you.
There it is. Listen on a podcast ain't too bad, though. You know?
Yeah, no, the podcast is good, but you know.
I appreciate you.
You know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're trying to say. I appreciate you.
I always say surprises are along the way. That was a fun one. We'll do a short version of the Midday Midway next. We have a Bigfoot sighting, and I have a bad day for a guy that fell in a river. That's next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Today's Wednesday, right?
Now it definitely feels like a Friday.
Well, it's the midpoint of your week. So now this is the Midday Midway on Hump Day, which means it's, you know, we're coasting in from here. Steve Stone talked baseball. We talked about just sort of the general sports night and how we handled everything. The two come from behind wild baseball wins and the NBA Finals and baseball history being made on YouTube TV. And we talked NBA, and then Jason Goff popped in, and we supercharged our NBA talk. Okay, this is from Martin County, Florida, Stuart, Florida, at Halpatioke Regional Park. A man was riding a bike on a trail, and he lost control of the bike, and he fell into a body of water about 6 feet down an embankment. So that sucks. You're riding your bike, and you lose control, and you fall. He was then grabbed by a 9-foot alligator and was severely injured, attacked by the alligator. So it's like, oh, God, I just crashed my bike, and I'm in this lagoon. Well, at least I'm not attacked by an alligator. Oh, man. So he was able to crawl to safety, apparently with the help of an onlooker. He was assisted. Rescue workers secured the area, drove the man to meet a medical helicopter. They brought in a professional trapper, and they have captured the alligator. No update on the condition of the man. But how was your day? Bad. So you get home that day, and you're all bandaged up, and you're in a body cast, and they roll you in. Hey, how was your day? Yeah, not so good, buddy. Where do you want to start?
Bad, and then got way worse. Yep. Way worse. All right. We have to discuss this as a collective. Jay, where do you think you're going?
Come on, Zawoski. You're not going anywhere here because...
I look over to the capsule and Jay's walking off like we didn't talk about this in the meeting.
Sorry.
Just because Jason Goff comes in and does amazing stuff and freelances with the best of them doesn't mean that everybody gets to go crazy.
Yeah, him and I were breaking down the game.
We have a Bigfoot sighting.
That's not allowed.
We have a Bigfoot sighting.
Yeah. Now, I am a full believer in the supernatural and aliens and all that stuff, and we can get into that another time. This was just a fat guy. I'm more of an expert on that than I am on cryptids, but that was not Bigfoot. That was a fat, tanned man with white hair.
Let's set this up properly.
It's the Cass River in Michigan.
And I get on these Twitter streets, and we see a message from one Russ Schneider, who tweets at us a lot.
Russ, by the way, unofficial producer of the I'm Fat podcast.
Russ does good work. Russ is very good at finding articles. And he sends us the story of new Bigfoot sighting caught on video leaves experts baffled. But it was the reactions afterward that truly made this enjoyable as a group, where we need to discuss it as a team on these here airwaves. Because did anybody think it was actually Bigfoot?
No, there's clothing. The first shot, there's folds that clearly make it look like it's a hoodie. It's clothing of some kind. And if you squint at it, it could be Bigfoot holding a baby Bigfoot. But it's probably a man holding a dog.
That's a totally different thing than a Bigfoot holding a baby Bigfoot.
I agree. I think the least likely thing is a Sasquatch and a baby Sasquatch. It looks like a dude holding a dog.
Some said it looked like the 45th president of these United States
yes.
crossing the river shirtless.
There was
some
of that.
Isn't it a little more tan than, say, orange?
A similar gait as well with that comparison. Yeah, this is a person. I want to believe. I do. I want Bigfoot to show himself to the world. I'm ready. But this is just a guy.
I also just loved how you said it on Twitter, though. And I had to dial it up, and it took me a while to scroll. This is just an over-tanned fat, right? Yes. And then Dan chimes in, and members of OTF.
Yeah. Well, that's what it looks like. You can see he's got fat rolls. There's no hair that I can see aside from white hair on the top.
And what is this about being over-tanned?
Maybe he lives
on the... Unless it's that woman from There's Something About Mary. I don't know that that's actually a thing.
I don't know. Or he's wearing a hoodie, or like somebody thought it looked like mosquito netting, and waiters and Granville waiters is out there. But I don't know. Maybe it's just someone who lives off the land. Or
in
he's
a
just,
van down by the river.
Yeah, or in the river.
Bigfoot and baby Bigfoot. Or it's person with smaller person.
Or dog.
Or it's the president. Or it's an over-tanned fat.
And over-tanned fat.
Well, the last two are the same. They're interchangeable.
This is what happens to us now when we can't have HD everything. Like, the blurry photo throws us all off. We have evolved... Not at all. We could put this on the front page of a tabloid, and we could make some money in these grocery store lines.
I'm watching it again, and it appears he's wearing a black Speedo. This is not Bigfoot.
Why can't Bigfoot wear a black Speedo?
I mean, I guess he can, if that's his style, but...
But, like, how is this not a tabloid at a grocery store?
Oh, it will be. But if I learned anything from Harry and the Hendersons, he does not wear underpants.
Harry and the Hendersons.
And most of what you know in life, you have learned from Harry and the Hendersons.
Correct.
Course.
Yes.
John Lithgow comes by and takes another chomp out of the scenery. That you have, it's probably a guy. And like you said, the scouting report on Bigfoot, just a guy. You know, you're probably mid-round selection, probably just a guy.
Yeah, just a guy.
We found Bigfoot.
No, you didn't. We found our guy who has strong baseball opinions, Cody Decker, WSCR baseball analyst, host of Down the Line, joins us next to talk baseball on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.